Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are learning the Sefer Oros HaKodesh of Rav Kook Zatzal. This shir should be a tremendous schus for Avi Zev ben Yehudis, that he should have Baruch HaVatzlach B'chol Maaseh Yadav, and for Daniel ben Shira Tzivya, who was hit by a car, he should have Refuah Shleima, and B'Sol Shachol Yisrael. And for Elisheva Nava Hudaya Bas Penina, a young mother with cancer, Shavra for Shalema, Saraleh Bas Rivka, who had her hip replaced, Shavra for Shalema Self Shachole Yisrael, and a Zivuk Hagun to Tova Bas Shena Rivka, the Mehera Bakarov to Eber Zoche, and to Ilana Simon Bas Miriam, the Mehera Bakarov to Eber Zoche. And the Behemah B'Karuk to Rebbe Zoche applies to everybody, to Ari Ben Yamin Ben Sarah Machla, to the Yaakov Ben Dina Chasha, to Chana Bela Bas Hinka Rachel, whose mother gets the award for the best name of the year, and for Chaya Viva Bas Shemel Miriam, and for everybody, Malka Bas Gittel, and everybody who needs and everybody who wants, David Moshe ben Yehudis Rivka, Shmuel Yezer ben Rezel Shoshana. I'm not looking at a list, by the way. I have this in my head because we try to daven for them. So you can write their names down and daven. They should have a zivuk. Now we're 1 minute and 40 seconds in this year, and we haven't started learning yet. First, we have to know why we're learning. We're learning to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it should also be a schus for all of my aforementioned friends. Okay. This is Perek Yud Gimel in Oros HaKodesh. His Alus HaOlam, says Rav Kook. This is deep. Ma anu choshim avar ha-matara Elohis behamtsoas ha-havoya. What's the purpose of the creation of the world? This is a question that's been bothering mankind for thousands of years already. And many answers are given. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says it's given the world was created l'chvodo yisbarach. To be magdil kvod shemayim, kiddush Hashem, chilu Hashem. We know that the Rasaga, the Ramchal, talk about the ethical aspect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was filled with goodness. So he wants to give, Midarach HaTov LaHeitiv. Hashem wants to give, so he created the world in order to be able to give. And therefore, we have to work in order to be Zoche to the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving. So life is about good and evil. To be zochet to the good, to be zochet to pleasure. Ramchal says the world's created for pleasure. Man was created in Gan Eden, right away to get pleasure. So obviously, the more answers we give from our sources, each answer is going to be correct. They're just different aspects. So let's see how Rav Kook views this. The word cook in Yiddish means to look. So we'll see the cook of Rav Kook. Omrim anu shehashlemus hamachletes hihi mechuyevus hametziyus ve'ein bo davar bekoyach ki makol befoal aval yesh shlemus shel hosofas shlemus sheze yiev shel yos be'elohus shari hashlemus hamuchletes ha'ein sofis ein aminicha makom lahosofa. So there's two types of shlemus in the world. Number one, there's shlemus muchletes, there's God. God is perfection. There's nothing bekoyach, it's all befoal. God is it, God can't get any better, God can't change. God is complete, unremitting perfection. Avol yesh shleimus av hosofas shleimus is another type of shleimus that you're constantly getting better, you're constantly improving. But that's yafshir lios belokus, that you can't have with God. God can't improve. Oh, God, you're doing much better these days. You know, I see a drastic improvement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom. One's not allowed to say that. God is complete perfection. Since God is perfect, so you can't talk about God getting better and better. But there is a certain type of shleimus which we also want God kaviyachol to have shaychus to, and that's the aspect of constantly improving. So from this world, we're going to be growing, and that the world only exists, v'tamachayas kulam, it only exists because God gives the world life. So in that way, God is relating to the second aspect of perfection, of constantly improving, and going towards a state of perfection, which is also an aspect of Shleimus. Hosafas Shleimus is also an element of Shleimus. So God, who gives us life, who gives the world life, is shaykh to a world of constant improvement. Whereas God himself, kiviyachol, is complete perfection. There you can talk about improvement, but there would be a chisaron in Hashem kiviyachol if you would say that he can't improve, because then he's lacking that aspect of perfection. So therefore we say that this world is constantly improving, constantly growing, constantly moving forward. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives life to this world, also relates to that aspect of perfection, the Hosofas HaShleimus, the constant improvement and going towards perfection. Ulamatarazo, Shosofas HaShleimus Gam Hilo Tichaser Bahavoya, Tzricha HaHavoya HaOlamis LeHisavos, Lios Lefize Mascheles Mitachtis HaYoyser Shvala, Kalomar Mimama Chil HaChisaron HaMuchlot, V'Shetelech Tamir Holoch Ve'alo LeHa'aliyah HaMuchletes. In order for the world to be growing, it would be logical that the world should start out very, very low and keep going higher and higher. This sounds a little bit like the theory of evolution, doesn't it? That we go from a lower level to a higher level. No? So, I'm not saying anything, sweetest friends. I'm just learning Rav Kook. We're going to see what he says. וכדי להבטיח את העלייה והעצמוסה של ההוויה, נוצר כולו בעילוי עליון, והעילו היה יוסם מכדי השיעור שתוכן מוגבל יוכל להיוס בפועל, אף על פי שהוא יוכל להיוס בכוח. על כן בהופס ההוויה, בפועל נסקלקו הדברים והכוחוס נסדפקו זה בזה, והינם עוסקים במלחמה חריפה עד שתנצח המחשבה המוחלטת האין סופית של הטוב ויתוקן הכל. וצייר פעילי של נסינס מקום השלמסה של עלייה בלתי פוסקת שזהו עדן מיוחד שבזה הבריאה משלמס את כבוד בורא. This is very, very deep, sweetest friends. We have learned in the books of the Kabbalah that when God originally created the world, there was so much light, there was so much godliness that the world couldn't take it. The world couldn't take so much good. So there was a shvira, there was this breaking, and some of the good remained, but some of it turned into bad. And therefore, the Arizal teaches, in every bad you can find sparks of good. But that's the original shvira. The world couldn't take it. So Rav Kook here says that that's why the world had to be created. The world was created in the sense of perfection, with all this good, be'ilui elyon. But the ilui was yosim echdei hashiur. It was too much for the world to handle. Shetochen mugbal yachol lios b'foha. More than the world can take practically, even though it could be b'koch. So potentially the world can have all that good. But practically the world couldn't take it. And therefore, b'hofas havoya b'foha niskalkul hadvarim. And therefore, when the world originally appeared, everything b'foha, the world as we have it, things got messed up. The hakochos nistapchu zebazeh, and all of the different powers got all tied up with each other, all messed up. And now we have a milchama harifa, we have this war to try to do what? To try to get back to that original state of perfection. So this allows, on one hand, that we originally had this kedusha, this greatness. That comes from God. We had that shleimus. We lost it. But we lost it in order to be able to live a life of pursuing Shleimus. And that's Eden Meyuchat, Shebezeh HaBriya Mashlemus is Kavod Bora. And in this way, this cosmic process of elevating the world is an Eden Meyuchat, it's a special pleasure. And in this way, like the Nefesh HaChaim talked about in Shaar Beis, the work of man, Rav Kook writes, Mashlemus is Kavod Bora. So this is a great honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, like we have the famous Medrash that Turnus Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, whose Maisim are better, God or man's? And he was trying to set him up. And he was going to say God, and then Rabbi he was going to say, and then Rabbi he was going to say God, and he was going to say, no, man perfects the world. Rabbi Akiva said, no, man. We know we get from the ground, we get grain that comes from God, but then we make it into delicious bread. We get a child, we take off the bris milah, so that's all part of this path towards Shlem. As a matter of fact, the Torah, like the Gemara says at the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, is called Derech. Because that's what the world is on a path, and it's on a path towards perfection. So there was this original hashefa of goodness and of light, which the world couldn't take. There was a shvira, and now we have this great war, this very very strong war to try to get back. Until this godly thought of goodness will fix everything. So really, it comes together. On one hand, like the Ramchal and others say, it's all about giving good. But the way we get good is by earning the good, by perfecting the world and perfecting ourselves. And this is what brings kavod to Hashem. As it says in the Medrash, Be'azman sheYisrael osim ritzono shel makom, mosifim koach begvura shel ma'ila. When the Jewish people do the will of God, they give God strength, kiviyachol, k'mot ha'atamris, ve'elokim na'asechayil, which the Medrash translates as, God, we will make strong. We will empower HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiviyachol. And that's what we do by bringing the world to the state of improvement of perfection. So that's Perek Yud Gimel. Now we move on to Perek Yud Dalet. As I mentioned in a previous year, recently a Rav from Talmon, Rabbi Sefer Hyman, wrote a Perish on the Oros HaKodesh. So he has been a help to me in deepening my understanding. And if you're listening to me, then to you as well. So let us now continue. Next Perek, Perek Yud Dalet. Now he gets into the theory of evolution, in which he talks about more in Oros HaKodesh, and many people on his time were against Rav Kook, and to this day, many people, if you ask them, they'll say, yeah, I don't believe in Rav Kook. People are against Rav Kook, but if you ask them why, they don't really know, because most people never even read him, at least those who are opposed to him. I often challenge people. I say, yeah, what's wrong with him? He said, yeah, he said not good things. People were against him. I said, who's against him? Yeah. You know, he was beside the Kedushin of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's wedding, and Rabbi Yashiv as well, and they both hold he was a Kadosh Elyon, and many others held that he was a Kadosh Elyon, the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, also held he was a very holy man, and there are many, many, many other people on the list, although there were definitely, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was opposed to some of what Rav Kook said or did. I'll call upon him, but the average person today, certainly, who's against him, will, if you mention him, who will make a face, has never really read him. But here we finally have something. I always tell people, I say, there's nothing to be against. All he talks about is Hashem. But here finally you have a piece of Rav Kook where I can see people getting very, very upset at what he says. But they don't know what he says because they don't bother reading him. But we have to learn it and see where it takes us. So now we're in Perek Yud Dalet. So like we learned in the previous parak, that there's one aspect of shlemus where one is constantly improving. And the other aspect of shlemus is where one starts out perfect. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly starts out perfect, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't say about him that he's constantly going towards perfection, then by golly, it would be a chisaron kiviyachol by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have chesronos. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be perfect. So where do you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have this element of constantly moving towards perfection? So Sofas HaShleim was constantly becoming better and better. So therefore we have in God this Kishron Yetzira, that God created a world which started out at a low point, which we spoke about before, about the Shviras HaKelim, this breaking of the vessels, the world couldn't take all the good, and now you have a lot of ra spread around, and then it's constantly going towards perfection. So we think, when we look at the world, a lot of times if you're looking at the world from a spiritual perspective, that when people want to be careerists and get more money and more cars and bigger houses, so that's a bad thing. There's also a positive aspect, and that is, it all comes from the same point of Kedusha, and that's developing the world. That's part of Shleimus. Asher bara Elohim la'asos, we say about Shabbos. Because in 6 days God created the world, and on the seventh He rested. Asher bara Elohim la'asos. The 6 days God created that we should, Asher bara Elohim, what is the la'asos? Asher bara Elohim. The answer to the la'asos is that we should do, our job is to perfect the world. And that's what we're constantly doing. We're constantly moving forward in technology and medicine, philosophy, even in learning. You even see a development in the Derech HaLimud of today. It's certainly not the Derech HaLimud of the Rishonim. If you read the style of writing of the Achronim and the conceptual frameworks that the Achronim are dealing with, that's not the way the Rishonim spoke. It's a development, and there were different schools of thought and different schools of learning. Development and the Musar movement. The Musar movement started with Rabbi Sol Salanter in the 1800s. It didn't start with Yehoshua and with Shimshon. You didn't see Shimshon had a Musar yeshiva. So obviously we see the Gedolim as great and as greater than us in many ways. On the other hand, civilization and even Torah and the Jewish people are constantly developing. There's a Hakdama of Moshe Avigdor Amiel in his Sefer Amidos L'Cheker HaHalacha, which people should learn more, because the Sefer is so deep and so beautiful, where he talks about the development of the Gemara, and the Gemara is constantly developing. We're just continuing today when we're sitting in the Beis Medrash. We're learning, we're continuing what was started already at Sinai, and it was passed down, and there was a Machlokas, and there's a Mishnah, and there's a Gemara, and the Rishonim argue about the Gemara, and the Achronim argue about the Rishonim, and we argue about the Achronim. I take the Ktosa side, my Chavruta takes the Nesivis side, and we fight it out. And then we develop, and I say a new Svar in the Ktos. And he says, yeah, but based on the Nesivis, as you said, you can answer Tosas in four different places. And that's the development. And then somebody takes those four answers of Tosas in different places, and he says, and based on that, you can also, you have a Kasha and what it says in the Gemara there. So you have to answer this. And if you understand the Gemara that way, then you can understand a different Gemara. And that's how Torah is constantly being developed, and perfected and elevated. And that's what really, in all elements of society, we're trying to do that. You look today at children, special children. When I was a little kid, they used to call them retarded. Today you're not allowed to say the word retarded. It's not nice. It wasn't nice back then either. People didn't look at it as an insult. But today we call them special. That in itself is a development. And in addition, you see how we teach them. We teach them, sometimes they get aliyahs for their bar mitzvahs. Some people even get married, and they're able to work, and they're able to function in society, because education and all the different therapies are so well developed that we're able to help these people. So that's all part of perfecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's really a very beautiful idea. So on one hand we say, Izu Asher Samech B'chelko, we should be happy with what we have, but the fact that people aren't, and they're constantly trying to move forward and trying to advance in life, so that comes from a very good place. That comes from a place, that's what God implanted within us. They were going to constantly try to develop things and improve. Omer HaRav, V'chol ma shehamada holechu mitbases al yesod ha-hitpatchut, holechu mitkarev el ha-orah ha-elohit ha-yoter bihira. The more science advances and bases itself on the foundation of development, or what we would call evolution, it is going and it is coming close to the orah ha-elohit ha-yoter bihira, to the more clear godly light. Uvoil hachazon hayoter elyon. It's coming to the higher vision. She'ein ladun al yado es havaya kula mitzad yichusa hachelki. Kolomar al dvar hayachas shebein chelek echad mimenu l'chaveru. Ki lo bezei yimtzu ha'arachim amitiim shela. כי מיקר דינה פנימיש הוא בדבר יחוסה הכללי של כולם כוח על הכל השלמות האלוקית. We're looking at the world. We're not looking at how one thing interacts with something else. We're looking at how everything interacts with godly perfection. Shehu adavar yoser nechbad v'yoser ro liyaseh elav esayisot shel havaya kula. That's what the world is all about. The world is all about developing and going forward and bringing everything to godliness, bringing everything to perfection, because God is perfection. So the more we develop everything, technology, the closer we're getting to God. We're using everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Imagine you tell somebody 100 years ago, take a little piece of plastic, you press it a few times, and then you can talk to somebody in any country in the world. Crazy. Today we can do that because we developed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, and obviously we do it to bring more Kavod Shemayim. We use everything he has to get closer to him. So we know that Charles Darwin, who wrote his famous book in 1859, 5 years before Rav Kook was born, and his book was a revolution in the biological and scientific thought, talking about the development and the evolution of the species. And Rav Kook, as he talks about in this chapter and in the coming chapters, was a supporter of this theory. And I stress it's a theory, and I also stress that many people would very, very stridently and strongly disagree with Rav Kook, and others would even call an apikoros. But we don't see in the Torah that the Torah says, Asur lahamin b'toros ha'ispatchus shel Darwin. We don't see an Isra like that. We see that we have to believe that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in Har Sinai. We have to believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. There are Ikrim where you're not necessarily an apikoros if you don't believe them according to some Rishonim. Like the Ravid argues with the Rambam, who says that if you believe that God has a hand, you're an apikoros. And the Ravid says, no, greater people than the Rambam made that mistake. Doesn't mean you're necessarily an apikoros. But you definitely should believe. It's a good thing to believe in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Some would say that the Rambam would say that if one doesn't, one's an apikoros. But one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is not that one's not allowed to believe in the theory of evolution. Now, what must be stressed is that Rav Kook, first of all, his starting point was the Torah. His starting point was that the Torah is emes. His starting point was that Kabbalah is emes. And the question is, does the scientific view, does the Darwinian view, fit into Torah? Does it fit into Kabbalah? Not does Torah fit into Darwin, but does Darwin fit into Torah? And if Darwin fits in, then it's terrific. Rav Kook wasn't he didn't lose any sleep at night. Is the Torah true or not true? That I'm 1,000,000% sure. But the question is, what's the emes? So the emes, the absolute, it's axiomatic that Torah is true, that God created the world. But the question is, how to understand that creation? So the Torah doesn't explain everything. There's a lot of sod. Chazal themselves tell us that that Kvod Elokim Haster Dovres Brios HaOlam, that's something that's hidden, that's something that we'll never fully understand. So we know that today Dr. Nathan Aviezer and Dr. Gerald Schrader, they've written books trying to show how the latest scientific theories fit into the Torah. And other people say no, it's all a bunch of baloney, everything the scientists say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all Kipshuto, created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, everything you see in the ground, like Lubavitcher Rebbe said, all the dinosaurs, everything, it's all just HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it there in order to give us any sign, are we going to believe or not believe? So that's what he believes. But Rav Kook thought very, very differently. So as I said a few moments ago, that he doesn't accept what Darwin says, lock, stock, and barrel, completely. He was just happy. The world, until Darwin, people thought the world just stayed the same. And Darwin believed that the world is constantly developing, that the survival of the fittest. So Rav Kook doesn't believe in the survival of the fittest. Rav Kook believes that, you know why we're here? Not because we're the fittest, but because that's what God wants. And it all fits in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bigger plan. So it's a divinely constructed evolution. If we're talking about developing, it means we're constantly moving forward. So that's beautiful. That fits in with Kabbalah. That's what the world is supposed to do until Yemos HaMashiach. So Darwin saw the biological evolution of the world, whereas Rav Kook, Lahavdil, Elef, Alfei, V'milyon Havdalos, saw the spiritual evolution of the world. Now, while the Darwinian perspective omits and ignores the perspective of Rav Kook and only looks at the biological side of reality, and many people don't like it because it's against Pshuto Shel Mikra, it doesn't look like what it says in the Chumash and Bereishis, but Rav Kook, who had a Riyah Choderes, who had a penetrating view, he was able to encompass within his Kabbalistic perspective the view of Darwin as well. So he couldn't say that it's only biological. Rav Kook said that it starts out with Ruchnius. And the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was that it should develop. And then, ultimately, at the end of days, we should get to a place where we're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like it says in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'gar ze'ev in keres, V'nomer migedi yirvatz, V'egel u'kfir m'ri yachton, V'nar katon nahakvam. Very beautiful psukim in Yesheu Perkid Aleph, psukim vov to test. Talks about how the animals, those wild animals, are also going to develop, and one day they're going to be nice. They're going to have a pet wolf. The wolf is going to lie next to the lamb. I once heard from Rabbi Bernstein, Zichron of Racha, the rabbi of the Jewish Center when I was a young boy, and most of his life a rabbi in England. He said, the lamb is going to lie next to the wolf, but the lamb isn't going to get much sleep. But at the end of days, that the lamb is going to lie next to the wolf and get a good night's sleep, because the wolf is going to be a nice, calm animal. V'lo yerov, there's going to be no hashchas, there's going to be no destruction in my holy mountain. Ki malar etzdeyaz Hashem. So the shleimus is not just only the development of the biological life. Biology is another stage in the ladder that leads to godliness. Ikar dina hapnimi hu bedvar yichusa haklali shel kula uchol halakeha el hashleimus elokis. Everything is coming to godliness. So Rav Kook had this very broad and unified perspective and harmonious perspective, where he just tried to bring everything in, everything that could be emes. So if Darwin's correct, so there are many books that have been written that shows that it's not only rabbis, but scientists also, there are many questions on the theory of evolution. There's some missing links there. And this clearly, from all the tens of thousands of emails that I don't get from my shiurim, don't send me an email trying to involve me in a very deep discussion of the finer points of Darwin and biology, because that's not an area where I can tell you that I'm very competent in. As much as I've read many, many articles about the topic over the years, I've tried to fill myself up with a lot of knowledge in Torah and science, but there are definitely many people who are far more qualified. So, and one of them, of course, would be Rav Kook, who, in his broadness, read the books. He read books of philosophy and books of science, etc. And he tried to see how it all fit into the Torah. And then if it doesn't, again, the Torah doesn't change. Science might change, but the Torah doesn't change. So if your starting point is that the Torah is emes, so then you see everything that the world has to presents to you, and you see, does it fit into Torah, or doesn't it fit into Torah? The Akara, and that's what Rav Kook did, and at his time people believed in the theory of evolution, in Darwin, until this day many, many scientists believe in it. So Rav Kook says, perfect, fits right into the Torah, and if Rav Kook would believe that it didn't fit into the Torah, so then it doesn't fit into the Torah, something else fits into the Torah, but the starting point, obviously, is the Torah, and not some bald man in a lab. Okay, the scientist doesn't have to be bald; he could also have hair. The Akara Haliona Me'abedes is Chusha Ava Hasuchas Haliona. עד שבא אדם לידי הכרה שאם היה האידיאל של הבריאה פחוס מסיגוב אל יום זה של השלמוס הנורא הזאת שהוא עשרה דיירה אילה לא היה לכל האידיאליות שום ערך שום סיגוב של קודש לא היה להם קינדרום של חול פרדים יבשים והספלוס בהנס אשרי שאל יעקב בן זרו סברו על השם ובקב עושה שמיים בארץ הסיום אז כל שרבם השומר אמס לעולם. So if you understand deeply the physical and spiritual reality of the world, so it brings us to a clear conclusion that you can't see the physical world as everything. The spiritual world, that's the center of creation. And even when you're talking about spirituality, it's not enough to have ideals. And that's what Rav Kook says. If the ideal of creation was less than this sublime state of shleimus, which is what? Astra the yira ilah, this elevated yira, yira milosh and riyah, this ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo haya l'chol idealius shum erich, no ideals would mean anything. If there's no godliness, then what does it mean to be honest? They're trying to start a secular religion. The atheists are trying to start a religion where you have values without God, and they try to show, oh, if you're religious, you're not a good person, but if you're secular, you're a good person. What are their values based on? Today it could be this. In India, when a woman's wife, husband dies in the old days, they would burn her alive. She's a widow. What worth is she? So that was there. That was what they believed in. In Greece, they would take a baby and put the baby outside and put him out for a couple of days, and if he froze to death, then he's not worth it anyway. And if he doesn't, he remained alive, so then he's going to be a good, strong man. He's going to be a gladiator. He's going to play professional football. So let's keep him alive. Everyone has their own values. The value of the Nazis was removing all vermin from the world, and they defined vermin as Jews, of course. So that was their value. Everybody has their values. They'll have their Avdalas. And no value, even if it's corrupt values, like I mentioned, of the Nazis or of the ancient Greeks, or even if it's elevated values, like modern-day Western culture, which talks about the importance of family and the importance of honesty and goodness and kindness and charity. But what does it mean if it doesn't have godliness? They wouldn't have any sublimity, any holiness, any elevation of anything. It would just be chol, it would just be pronunciation. Everything would be separate. Everything would be disconnected from the source. And everything has to be kirvas elokim. Everything has to be our desire to get close to Hashem. And then Rav Kook quotes the pasuk, "Ashrei shekel Yaakov beezro sivro al Hashem elokav." Fortunate is me who hopes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God helps him, and sivro, he hopes to Hashem, his God, that God is the center of his life. And then he looks at the heavens and the earth. Oseh shamayim baratis yomez kol sherban, hashomer emes leolam. So this person, his life is based on godliness, and he looks at the physical world, and he sees godliness. This emes is forever. Hashomer emes leolam. This truth is forever. Zeu haklal ha'elyon, continues the Rav, shekol hastafuyot hamusariyot hameduyakot yotzot mimena. Kanafime it's Rav, the Rume Moti Achme Shemaya Vhazuse Lesof Ara, based on a pasuk in Daniel, that this is the elevated principle, that everything, all of the ethical ideas branch out of it. That everything is like branches from a tree that's from the earth to the sky. Pasuk in Daniel, Dalar Ches. So we have this tfisa, we have this understanding, we have this perspective that encompasses everything, that the shamayim and the aretz, everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is an emes that stands forever. And that's how we have to see the world. Kishem shehachashecha gedola, kishem shehachashecha gedola, hizo ha'akara, she'eni yodas raz elyon ze, shel ha'magama ha'tachlitit, shel ha'shlemut ha'lokit ha'olechet u'mitaleh, Aidei Yitzira Kula Ve'in Sof Etachlis Ken Yosef Mizeh Afela Menudach Yadeh HaChosheves She'en Kan Kiim Zos HaShlemus Shal Esalus V'lo Shlemus Mukhlatus. He says, just like, it's Pilei Plos what he writes here, just like it's darkness not to understand this divine secret of HaMagamah Tachlitit, of how everything is going towards the Tachlis, towards perfection. of Shleimus Elokis Olaf Musal, that everything's going higher and higher. It's even darker if you think that God doesn't start off himself absolutely perfect. So you have to have both. V'zoi ha'afeila ha'shuya b'shitasim shel ha'filosofim ha'ma'apilim ha'modernim b'shitasim shel Bergson. So in the, it seems that in our version of the Ores HaKodesh, he took out b'shitasim shel Bergson. You know that Henri Bergson was a Jewish French philosopher who lived in the time of Rav Kook, and he claimed in his famous book, which translated into Hebrew is Ahitpatchut Hayotzeret, creative development. I don't know, I never read it. So he claims that evolution has a direction, but it's not God directing it. So he talks about how the world is developing, but God isn't behind it. So later on, Bergson converted to Christianity, and the year that Rav Kook died, he wrote an article called Thought and Movement, Machshava Tznua in Hebrew. And he brought God into his perspective, into his Weltanschauung, into his viewpoint. And it could be that had Rav Kook read that article, he would have had a different perspective of Bergson. However, even in that article of his, he still sees God through the eyes of a Catholic, and not the eyes of a Jew. So therefore, Rav Kook obviously wouldn't accept that. But in his will, he returned to Yiddishkeit. And in 1941, Bergson died in Paris, which had been captured by the Nazis. He had a pneumonia. And he got sick, apparently, when he was standing on line to be registered as a Jew after he refused the offer of the Vichy government to be free from the decrees against the Jews. So he actually died as a Jew. He came back. That's what it says in the footnote of the commentary of Ores HaKodesh. So we'll take his word for it, and if I'm wrong, then you can email me or call me and tell me. I like learning that I'm wrong. It just makes me a more knowledgeable person. In any event, where were we? So we just quoted Bergson. So Bergson sees the world as having this its own internal dynamic, and God is out of the picture. And that's not good. We have to bring God into the picture. So in the preface to the Sefer Ores HaKodesh, the Nazir, who was the editor of Ores HaKodesh, writes, "B'hiyos harav b'yafo," when Rav Kook was in Yafo, "biker osa harav Dr. Kaminka, who pierce mamaral of shemata deos harav krovus l'deos et patchus l'philosoph ma'modernim Bergson. Ach, harav cholek al shitas ha'philosoph ha'moderni b'kara, shekein osaf l'hisalus, yes, yesh ha'shlemut ha'muchlata." So the Nazir says that Rabbi Dr. Kaminka met Rav Kook, and he says that he wrote an article, and he said, "Yeah, you think your ideas are very close to the philosopher Bergson about the world developing." And the Nazir said, "There's one very fundamental, basic difference, and that is Bergson doesn't look at God as being absolutely perfect, the Shlemus Hamuchlata, and therefore we must distinguish between Rav Kook and the Havdil Bergson." So there's some people who don't believe in the world developing towards perfection. There's some people who don't believe in the absolute perfection of God. And according to Rav Kook, they're both living in darkness. Ve'avo yamim v'yigale or Hashem b'chol hod miluo v'yakiru hakol shedavka oz yesh makom bina v'hashlem v'sam esbarechetz shehakodosh tzorech lak sheshlem v'salyon v'ashir v'hakodosh tzorech bracha v'ein tzorech tzedaka v'hoya b'yamu yashem echad ushmo echad hu ushmo daika. The day is going to come when the light of God is going to be revealed in all of its glory. B'chol hod miluo. What does it mean, hod miluo? In all of its fullness. The two types of shleimus. The shleimus of God himself, and the shleimus of the world coming towards perfection. And then Rav Kook says a line which is going to be better explained in the next paragraph, so we're going to skip that for now. And then he concludes, V'haya b'yom hu yashem echad u'shmo echad hu u'shmo daika. So there's two aspects. There's Hashem Echad and there's Shmo Echad. Hashem himself, God, Aleph and then a Dalad and a Nun then a Yud. That's God Himself. We're going to see at the end of days God's perfection. And then we're also going to see Ushmo Echad. There's also going to be, together with that perfection, there's also going to be perfection of His name, which is the Shleimus HaMis'ala, the world, or Mis'ala, the world getting better and better, and that also is going to reach its Shleimus. So that's Hu Ushmo, Kodesh Baruch Hu Himself, Kaviyachol, and His name, the world coming to perfection as we perceive it, in, as we perceive Him in this world. So this was a very I would say, revolutionary and novel perspective of life, evolution, the purpose of the world. And Ra'uim Hadvarim L'Misha Amarim, it's fitting that such a gadol and a tzaddik, like Rav Kook would say it. And Emitz Hashem, I would like to continue, if they don't put me in Chayrim and put my name up all over signs in Me'ah Sharim that I'm not Bikoris, but I'm obviously not taking sides, whether those who understand Bereshis Kipshuto are correct, as there are many, or those who understand it not Kipshuto, as Rav Kook says in a later passage, that we also don't understand that Hashem has an arm, or Hashem gets angry, we don't understand that Kipshuto. So Bereshis certainly is our secrets, the creation of the world. Al-Kopanim, those are the two sides of the argument, and what's agreed upon by everybody is that that God is one, and that God created the world, and that Torah is emes. The question is just how we understand Torah. So I try not to get nervous when somebody has an explanation, which I'm not used to, just because I'm not used to it. If it works in the Torah, if it could be fit into our tradition, so then why not? Then great, not only why not, but the Rebbe Shlita wants to find a good teretz, as a teretz where if you wouldn't have the kasha, then you would be lacking understanding. That's a good teretz. A good teretz is, let's say you have a stira between source A and source B. If after you reconcile the contradiction between source A and source B, you're happy that there was a contradiction because it deepened your understanding, then you know that you have a good answer. But if after the contradiction, after the resolution, you would still have preferred that there was no contradiction in the first place, then you know that's not a good resolution. A good resolution is that you're happy that there was that contradiction in the first place. That's the only way you would have come to this understanding. But had there not been that contradiction, then you wouldn't have come to this understanding. That sometimes there's such a teretz like that. There are other teretz in that even after the teretz, you would still feel much more at peace if there was no question to start with. So here you have the questions of science, the challenges that science presents, and you have Rav Kook's answer, which is saying it's not a challenge. It's Adarab, it's Mechazik, exactly what the Torah was trying to tell us, that the world is coming towards Shleimus. Whereas according to the other side, I would think that the other side would say, listen, we wish science wouldn't present this challenge, because people do believe in science to a certain extent. They go to the doctor. That's based on science. So maybe on that level, Rav Kook's answer would be better, but I am not a Navi, and I'm certainly out of my league if I would take sides in this argument of the Gedolim. So I'm just presenting Rav Kook as he says it. And, you know, I'm still a person. I have my own Matthias to what I feel more comfortable with, which side of the argument. But I'm just presenting the Torah as it's written in the Kisvei HaRav Zatzal. And he himself said about himself that his writing was done b'chazon, that he was done with visions, and it wasn't just intellectual, it wasn't just philosophical. He was writing from the soul and from a point of Ruach HaKodesh. You even see the way he describes himself. He says, I can see the lights. I can see the lights of God, of the world, being the barrier between the light and the person's soul and the person's sin. So there are, the book was writing at a very, very high level. I'll call upon him. I thank everybody for being with me. I invite feedback. And Amit Hashem, I hope to continue. May Hashem bless you and us all. All too. From Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim.